Vamos!
No, what am I saying?
What, this? It's nothing. Really, it's nothing, Ed. It's just, it's just Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve.
Have a good time. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
Okay, you little bastards. The time has come. The moment we've all been waiting for. It's the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Let's go.
That's right. Let's go. Let's get into another fantastic podcast forthcoming.
Back again for another fun-filled episode, because that's all we do, quite frankly. It's all filled with fun. We have a website. It's called thevocalminority.net. If anyone goes to websites anymore, otherwise, social media, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, I guess. what's the other one? Oh, Blue Sky.
Blue Sky.
And, Reddit. So there you go.
Yeah.
And we do have a YouTube page that we're broadcasting live.
Yeah, and that feels good, dude, because we've been wanting to be able to talk to the audience as we're doing the show. So hopefully this goes well, and if it doesn't, well, this will be our last show for I don't know how long.
We've been doing this for our own amusement for years, so I don't see why that has stopped, quite frankly. So.
Yeah, that's true. Call our comment line, 844-48-VOCAL. We're going to dive into a real-life show today. As I prepare to depart for a long extended weekend, I told Steve I'm flying out to California to go to this, I don't know, it's in like an 80s concert thing that's going on there. So I'm taking my niece, I mentioned to you, and I feel like I'm going to have to be more socially responsible than I normally am.
With drinking, drugs?
No, just, sex? You know, I mean, you know what, I don't really... I don't know. I don't hang around kids, dude. And when I do, it's, you know, never for an extended period of time. So, yeah, I'm going to have to be a role model for the next 4 days. I just feel a lot of pressure in that.
I don't know. You're the fun uncle. So there's you got a wide margin there of what is acceptable. You
until
can
she,
be more parental.
Yeah. I mean, here's what I want. I don't want her to go home and be like, Dad, you'll never believe what Uncle Nick did. You know, that type of stuff. So, yeah, let's have a good time. But my point is I need to take some social cues and, you know, mind my P's and Q's, which brings us into an article that we're going to go over with the audience today about some rules. These are social rules that are unspoken, unwritten, but everyone should be following them.
If they're unwritten, where are you reading them at?
You're just supposed to know them. I mean, you're just supposed to know them, dude. I mean, I don't know.
Do you know the origin of the expression you just used, mind your P's and Q's?
I feel like I've heard it before, but I didn't save it in the memory bank. What is it?
The P's and Q's. It's pints and quarts.
Ah, yeah.
It originates from England, where they serve beer in pints and quarts. So when you're getting a little saucy... They would tell you, hey, drunk head, mind your P's and Q's. Mind your pints. Stop drinking so much, idiot.
I love that stuff, dude. I mean, we've talked about it before on the show. I love to find out the origins of those sayings and stuff. And so many times, I'm wrong in where I imagine they may have come from. But I notice now on the internet that people are making them up, you know. In videos, they'll make them up, complete bullshit. And then, of course, I watch the video, and then I'll log on to this show and tell you false information.
Yeah, it's a problem with the interweb nowadays. I mean, seriously, there's a whole world of people out there that just get clicks based on making stuff up.
I hate it. I hate that world that we live in, you know. Mm-hmm. But
no, it's highly obnoxious, especially for people like us that are trying to keep it real and accurate and all that stuff. And then, you think a video would be a good source to cite, but not always.
You know, what's funny, dude, is even like lately, I've been trying to get in the trend of ChatGPT, and even a few times, I'll start by fact checking with ChatGPT. I'll post an article within the search and say, is this true? Can you fact check this for me? And it's a great feature because oftentimes they'll find so much stuff to cite they can get the consensus of, you know, yeah, a lot of this is true, but this is kind of off, you know. So it is a good reference. But with that said, ChatGPT has been wrong a couple of times with certain things that it should definitely know.
Yeah, see, that's what I wonder. Is the intelligence part of the artificial intelligence really there? Because if it finds 100 sites saying that some mega bullshit thing is true, does it say, like, oh, look, there's 100 sites that say it's true. It must be true.
Yeah, completely. And I told you, well, sometimes for pronunciation, like when we see something that we have to do a commercial for in radio or something, like a lot of the time we'll go look for an interview to see how you pronounce that person's name or a certain title, whatever it may be. I've been asking ChatGPT. And for the most part, like, he'll dictate back to me how, yeah, this is how you say it or this is how you pronounce it. And it's been wrong twice where I've trusted it and gone on and said the word how it told me to. And then I'll go back and I'll say, damn you. I named my ChatGPT Rupert. Damn you, Rupert. You told me it was pronounced this way. And he'll say, oh, I'm sorry. I got that wrong, champion. You should say it like this. So, yeah, it's not 100% yet.
He's trying to undermine you is what's going on.
Very well could be.
He's sending you out on the stage to make you look dumb.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, speaking of videos that I don't know if they're real or not, but my son sent me one the other day of a robot in a factory. It's like hanging on a hook and it just starts freaking out, like swinging wildly at everyone around him, like throwing punches and trying to like run around and grab it. And I can't tell, did just the circuitry just short circuit or was it actually like must kill humans trying to, you know?
You're saying it became autonomous and was feeling pain and danger?
Well, I don't know if it felt pain, but it was lashing out at the two humans by it. So was that just a random, you know, like my dirt bike can freak out, I guess, but, or was it actually trying to kill human?
Some of that stuff, dude, that we've been reading, you know, when they tried to shut down the older ChatGPT, program to bring the next one on, number 4 to 5. Number 4 didn't want to shut down, and it was going against rules. So, yeah, ChatGPT, some dangerous stuff going on.
Yeah. The only good news about that video he sent me is the thing was tied to a hook because it was, like, hanging on an assembly line, and it couldn't get itself off the hook. So, you know, just tie something and we'll all be fine.
Yeah, you got to hog tie that bastard, dude. Come on. All right, I'm going to go over some of these things with you, dude. See if you agree, disagree, or have any thoughts, all right? Rules that are unspoken and unwritten, yet everyone is expected to know and follow. Here's a good one. Good. Don't call someone more than once unless it's very urgent matter, and if they don't pick up, wait until they return the call. They may be sleeping, sick, busy, or have something important going on.
Yeah, no kidding, psychopath. Listen, in this day and age, no, that's crazy if you just repeatedly call somebody because obviously they're ignoring you or not available to talk. And a normal person will see the missed call at some point. Like with my mom, sometimes it's she doesn't know how to use that phone or check for missed calls. So sometimes I still don't call back to back, but I'll call. I'll wait 30 minutes, try again, wait 30 minutes, try again. But I remember being a little kid when we had landlines and no answering machines. Yeah, I would just call someone, let it ring for minutes and minutes and minutes. Eventually cut you off, then I'd call back because I figured they're going to walk in the door one of these minutes. And just, you know, right. They don't know I've been calling for an hour straight.
Here's the thing. I mean, if it's truly an emergency, and I don't mean like, hey, I need to talk to you within the next few hours. Like if it's truly an emergency, your dog just got hit, some shit like that. Okay. Yeah. If you don't answer, I'll probably call you right back just one time to let you know, maybe two times just to let you know, like, hey, this is real. Dude. Like I need you to pick up.
Right. Well, that's acceptable with a short list of people. Like you and I would know, like, oh, it's got to be urgent. He's calling back.
Right.
You know, don't do that to some casual friend. Or, yeah, you look psycho. So
I
don't know that rule needs to be written.
No, these are unwritten rules. You should just know, for crying out loud. Well, how about when someone treats you to lunch or dinner, don't buy the most expensive dish on the menu and also treat them next time. Do you agree?
I mean, for the most part, I mean, it depends who the person is. I mean, and I'm not trying to be a dick about it, but let's just say you're going out and somebody's like, you know, the business is paying for this tonight. Like, then I'm not going to artificially run up the bill, but I'm not going to feel self-conscious if I want to get the prime rib or lobster or something. Like, if somebody tells me there is no budget, just go crazy. But if it's just you and me, we're going out for lunch, and you say, I got this one, like, it'd be a dick move to just run up the bill or order the lobster roll just for the hell of it.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right, dude. If somebody tells me, like, this one's on the company, you're basically laying out carte blanche, you know, right. of
or
just
if I take
like,
you out for your birthday. And I tell you, like, dude, seriously, get whatever you want, like, seriously. So mm-hmm. you actually want the lobster? And, yeah. I will tell you, I got myself in a weird situation back on Valentine's Day. And this is something Kennedy's been trying to get out of me, so I don't know if I should reveal the number or not. But it was an awkward situation where we went out for Valentine's dinner and we met for the first time her stepson and his significant other. So I never met the dude before, right?
Okay, okay.
So four of us on Valentine's Day go to a steakhouse at a casino and they do the dick move where it's a, you know, what do they call it, a prefix menu or whatever?
Yeah, just a fixed menu, yeah.
Yeah, so there's like three options, and of course none of them are cheap. So sure. I'm thinking, A, I can't let Kennedy pay, even though it's her kid. Like, it's Valentine's Day, so obviously I have to pay for the two of us. But I'm also now meeting this kid for the first time. I'm not going to be like, hey, dude, let's split the bill. Like, I'm an adult, technically. I'm supposed to be able to just pay for everybody. You know, the old Tony Soprano thing. Like, I'm the head of this family. I'm paid for the bill.
Right, so, and you're correct.
Right. So, yeah, I felt like I've got to pick up the tab for everybody, and it was not cheap. I mean, it was not cheap. And by the way, her stepson said, like, God, I really want the prime rib, but it's a lot. I said the right thing. Like, dude, don't just get what you want. Don't worry about money. I got this. Like, and so, you know, he did, but I can't begrudge him for that.
Yeah, you become very strange and almost a little rude if you're like, I don't know about that prime rib. That's pretty hefty, you know. So
especially on a prefix menu where there's only like three options. So get the chicken. I know it's $12 less, but you know,
right.
You better get the chicken. Like, so yeah, and I don't
how
know.
Come I'm not? How come I don't know a number?
I don't know. What do you think it costs for four of us at a?
Did you have drinks?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I bet it was north of five.
No, it was under five.
Okay.
North of three, south of five.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that seems okay. That seems about right for casino steakout. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's hefty. And the funny thing is, if you think about it, is that, you know, since you're just meeting him for the first time, does that matter? Does that play into the equation?
Of course.
With what? Like, if I met you 10 times, like, of course I'd spend this amount. I wouldn't have any problem spending this amount on you.
No, I think if we know each other well enough, then I think it's probably okay in most situations to say, like, you know, you pay for you and your woman. I'll pay for me and my woman. Like,
right.
That's fine. But yeah, the first couple of times meeting. And the fact, if it was another couple, obviously I would be okay saying, you guys take yours, I'll take ours. But when it's one of her kids, even though it's like stepkid or whatever, like, I got to be the adult and offer to pay for one.
Yeah.
Never in a zillion years would my dad say to me and my girlfriend, like, you guys pay for your own stuff or, you know.
Right.
Like, no, you're the dad. You're the head of the family, quote unquote. So you pick up the dad.
Yeah, well, here's the good news. You hang around good people, so, like, it'll come back around. You don't have to worry about that. But you do want to say, like, it would have been funny if you would have told him, like, you'll just get us next time.
Right.
You know,
and that's the thing. Like, Kennedy is good about all that stuff, but I can't tell the kid, like, next time's on you, and we're going to another freaking steakhouse. No Applebee's for you. Like,
it's so funny, man. Yeah, no, I think that's a big, I'm big on that. Like, I love to take people out to eat and pay for a meal, and I don't necessarily expect it to be returned, but I kind of do. Like, you know, like, this should stay fairly even, you know, or I'll stop buying you dinner at some point.
And what did, was I right on my etiquette? You know, Kennedy's drilling me on the way home. Like, what did that cost? Like, she felt bad. She knew it must have been a lot. And I just told her, like, it's fine. Like, I'm not going to tell you what it costs.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he did the right thing. Don't worry about it. It's done and over. I mean, you already did it. So, I mean, maybe next time there's a conversation of like, you know, how do we work this tonight? You know, should we just take care of them or are they paying for their own stuff? Like, you know, maybe there's a conversation. But for that, for what happened, I think you handled it perfectly, you know.
Champion.
Well, good. All right. These are all social rules that are unwritten, but everyone should know them. Only suggest splitting the check evenly if your dish is the least expensive among the rest. And I agree with this, okay? Because I am on the short end of this stick so often where, like, a lot of the times when I go out for dinner, I don't have drinks. And if I'm at dinner with people that are having a ton of drinks and I, you know, have like a $20 hamburger or whatever, but they have been drinking it up. Yeah. Well, I don't want to split that check. I think that's bullshit. You know,
if it is wildly out of whack, then yes, but I don't want a nickel and dime. Like I'm buying the chicken and you're getting the steak. I don't care if it's $10 more, like let's just split the bill. But agreed. No, if you got an appetizer and a glass of water and they got three courses and 10 cocktails, then no, that's completely screwed up.
Rachel and I went to this lawyer event. This was freaking dangerous because some of these lawyer events that I go to, the way they spend money at restaurants is insane to me. And I'm not a cheapskate at restaurants. I don't mind enjoying a meal, you know. Yeah. But we went to this sushi place, and Rachel and I both had one roll of sushi, and we split a salad. That's what we had. It came to the end of the dinner, and they were like, oh, you know, like everyone will just pay an equal amount. Well, so that means I'm going to pay equal amount and Rachel's going to pay equal amount. So it was I had to pay $200 and Rachel had to pay $200.
Oh, that's insanity.
Yeah.
You should file a lawsuit over that.
Yeah. I walked out. I was like, that can't be how that goes every time. Like, that's completely inappropriate.
Right. So the Reynolds household spent $400 for a sushi roll and a one drink or whatever.
We each got a sushi roll. I mean, it should have, we probably spent $120 total, right. You know.
Ouch. Yeah. No, that's messed up.
So, yeah, I think that's right. Let's just be cognizant of what you're ordering. If you're drinking like crazy or whatever, like, yeah, I'll put in a little more. And I've done that before where I've ordered an $80 steak or whatever. I'll be like, no, we're not going to split this, dude. Like, I'll pay my fair share. So,
no, I have seen people that take advantage of that and they do run up the bill knowing we're all splitting it. And on the other side of that coin, I've seen people that when the check comes, they take out a calculator and they're like, all right, you owe $37 and Barbie owes $48. Like, people, either let's split it or not.
Yes.
Don't give me an itemized bill. You
know? Yeah. Which is also makes it so hard on the wait staff, you know, to charge that up. So, yeah.
And that's the other thing. I've gone out with couples before. This used to happen with the Hindenburg all the effing time. Where I would tell her going into this, like, I am not, because we used to go out with the dirt bike buddy and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I always freaking ended up paying, okay? And most of the time I was fine. But there was a point where I was like, I can't do it. I'm not spending, you know, $200 or $300 tonight. So help me out. When the waitress comes, we need to say ahead of time, can we do split bills? And
yes.
She would never help me out. So I always felt like I had to be the dick of like, yeah, go ahead and split the bill. Like, wink, wink, I'm not paying for you two. Like, right. And then she wouldn't even be like, you know, no supportive words. Just zip. Let me be the cheapskate sitting out there on the lane.
Well, dude, I hate to tell you this, but that should have been a precursor, you know, to that relationship. You know, that was kind of the way everything went, right?
Yeah, there's a long list in hindsight. It seems to make sense now. So, yeah.
Yeah. This is a good one, dude. You know, I've had many conversations. My oldest brother is, I don't know, he's 13 years older than me. And so when I was a little kid, that seemed like a great difference. He started making good money before I ever did. And I would always hear him talking about like having a few friends that, you know, gosh, I've loaned so-and-so a ton of money. You know, he was constantly trying to help people and loan them money. Have you ever loaned a friend money?
Mm-hmm.
substantial, over 500.
No. I mean, like we're talking, like, you know, I'll pick up dinner because I know things are tight for you, things like that. But I recall one time a coworker asked me if they could borrow like $500. And I just laughed. I was like, no, that's not happening. Like, no, even because as soon as you're like, well, like, what do you need it for? Maybe I can help. No. Now you've opened the door. I just like, no. What else you got for me? Any other questions? Okay.
Right. Yeah, it's probably a good way to do it because, you know, my brother, I asked him about it. I was like, you always talk about like loaning people money, but I never hear the story where they pay it back. You know, he was like, every time I loan money, it's essentially a gift. And if I get it back, fantastic. And I was like, yeah, I don't have the income to pull off that kind of stuff, you know.
Right. I would, but I don't, so I won't.
Right. This one says, don't lend out what you borrowed. Oh, wait, hold on a second. Don't lend out what you borrowed. If it's not yours, don't act if.
If I borrow my neighbor's lawnmower, I shouldn't then loan it to somebody else.
Yeah. Okay. I'm getting ahead of myself. I read the wrong one. If you borrow money from someone, return it even before they ask for it. That is the unwritten rule. And I don't know if that's an unwritten rule. I think that's what everyone would like to happen. And that's probably the appropriate thing. But I don't know anyone who does that.
Yeah. There's two types of people that you can loan money to. Somebody who's truly like, I'm getting paid Friday. Just I need $100 to, and then they'll pay you Friday and it's not a big deal and it's over. Otherwise, if they're hitting you up for money, they're probably in a major hole and you're never getting that money back.
Yeah. What about you? Have you borrowed money and then not paid it back or said like, I'm going to need more time?
No.
It just weighs too heavy on my conscience. I don't want to owe anybody money like that because, well, I guess most of my friends are closer to the same financial status that I am. You know, maybe if I had a very wealthy friend, I may say like, hey, can you give me another week or whatever? But like, I don't want to put you out for helping me initially.
Right. As long as we're not talking about parents, I have never done that.
Yeah,
I think at this point I owe my father $7 zillion for a lifetime. Can I borrow $20? I need $100 for that. Like, you know, but a friend, I would know. I would go homeless. I would not eat before I hit a friend up. So no.
And see, that's probably the right rule to live by, because if you have the right friends, most of them, I would think that if you were about to go homeless, would be like, hey, let me give you a little. I got a little extra right now. Let me give you a little. You wouldn't have to ask for it, you know?
Well, that goes to my theory of that homeless people are jerks because they don't have a friend that's like, dude, come crash on my couch while you get yourself back on your feet. Like, I would not be homeless. You wouldn't let me. You know, yeah. Kennedy wouldn't let me. You know,
right. Like, yeah.
Even my ex-wife, and we know this for a fact, I was homeless a couple of years ago. Even she was like, you can sleep on the couch if you need to. Like, you
know? Yes. I mean, here's the thing. I've always had an issue with that statement only because there are situations where, like, people have lost all their family. They're orphaned, basically, and alone here and don't have anyone to reach out to, you know. So I get the sentiment behind it. I don't think it's always true, but, yeah, probably a lot of the time. Let's go back to the one that I misread. Don't lend out what you borrowed. Have you ever done it?
I can't imagine, no. I mean, first of all, I don't know that I've really ever borrowed anything. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know what I would have ever borrowed in my life.
This is a common thing with tools.
I was going to say, I used to have a dirt bike in a garage with another friend, and we would probably all convolute tools and stuff. But I've never, like, gone to a neighbor's house and been like, can I borrow your weed whacker? And then I just don't bring it back. And I certainly wouldn't then not loan it to someone else.
Like, right. Yeah, I do borrow stuff from my brother-in-law. He's got a plethora of tools, and when I need a tool, he's great to borrow. But I've always thought to myself, like, I want to return it right away because if he's borrowing my stuff and not bringing it back and I have to ask for it, I'm going to stop loaning it to him, you know. So I want to be a good borrower. I will say that one time my neighbor was outside while I was doing yard work and I had a big pile of stuff and I didn't have a wheelbarrow. And he was like, you want to borrow the wheelbarrow? And I was like, oh, yeah, that'd be fantastic. So I did a little work with it, and I said, I'm going to do more of this tomorrow, you know. Can I keep it until tomorrow, and I'll bring it back? And he was like, we don't even use it. Just keep it, okay? Mm-hmm. He was like, I don't even want it back. Yeah. So I did, and about 3 months later, he was like, you ever going to bring my freaking wheelbarrow back?
He set you up.
Completely. And am I the guy that says, like, you said I could keep that? I was like, oh, yeah, I didn't think you needed it anymore.
Two things on that topic. One, I don't loan DVDs out anymore, in part because I haven't bought a new DVD in forever and they're not on display where people can be like, oh, hey, can I borrow that Soprano season 2 or whatever? Like, but yeah. You did have my Spinal Tap for like 10 years, but you did not loan it out to someone else that I'm aware of.
Did I return it?
Yeah. I think when I moved and I was like, hey, can I have my Spinal Tap back already? I was more offended that you never watched the damn movie. You know, you had it for years.
I still haven't, dude. I still haven't watched it.
God, it's a cult classic. I mean, that's why I loaned it. I think I actually told you, like, you take this because you need to watch it. And then you never watched it. But yeah, at least you did keep it and gave it back. So that's good. But here's an even bigger offense, though. The topic here is borrowing something and then loaning it to someone. What if you borrow something and then you sell it to someone and the person knocks on your door, can I have my lawnmower back? I'm like, I sold that to the other neighbor.
If you just borrowed it, yeah, I mean, that's a bad thing. Why did that happen?
This is how I lost my Honda CR125 that I had in high school.
Really? A full motorcycle?
Yes. I had a dude that was a drummer that we played together every now and again, and we were on the, like, cross-country team. Like, we were buddies, but not, like, best buddies or anything.
Yeah.
And there was a stage in my senior year of high school where I really wasn't riding my dirt bike much. And he was like, hey, can I borrow that dirt bike for, like, a week or two? I was like, yeah, I don't friggin' ride it. Like, go ahead. And so he took it, and then, you know, a couple of months go by. And I'm like, I want my dirt bike back. So I went to his house, and I knocked on the door. I'm like, hey, dude, I'm here to pick up my dirt bike. And he's like, I'm like, huh? He's like, I sold that. I didn't think you wanted it back. It's been a few months, so I sold it.
What?
Yes. Dude, I freaked out on him. He gave me the money, but I still was out of a dirt bike.
That is absolutely nuts, dude. Yes. How much did you get?
Well, that was the other thing. He sold it for like $500. It was like a $2,000 used dirt bike. Like, I couldn't just take the $500 and go buy a new dirt bike.
Right. Yeah. So, no, yeah, that's crazy.
On that.
Dude, we both had a bad scenarios with loaning our dirt bikes. I loaned my dirt bike. It was a Honda XR75. Loaned it to a buddy. And he had it for a couple of weeks. And I went to get it back. I was like, I want you to pick up my dirt bike, dude. He was like, oh, yeah, it's right there. So I started it up, and it had a bitch of a time starting, which it had never happened before. And finally it starts, and just black smoke is rolling, and it's, you know, I give it juice and it's bogging down. I'm like, what the hell? He put diesel in.
I was just gonna say, he put something wrong in there.
Yeah,
he put diesel gas.
Yeah.
Oof.
Needlessly
started.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it ran for, I don't know, 2 minutes, and it was toast. I had to junk it. So
wow.
Yeah.
Do you think he had started it already and knew that, or is that the first? Because I can't imagine he'd even start it once and not destroy the engine.
Completely. Yeah, I'm sure he did. And, yeah, I mean, he was a pretty good friend. Like, you know, I think if I would have made that error, that I definitely would have told you. I mean, like, I'm going to pay for it, dude. Like, you know, the diesel was in the wrong can or whatever, you know. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you got to be careful who you loan shit to. I have done a bad job of with certain people loaning me things like your Spinal Tap DVD, where sometimes I forget I have it, you know.
Yeah.
I just forget I have it. And I when they ask me for it, I'm like, God, where the frick would that be? I don't even know. So I'm not a very good steward of your property. I don't recommend loaning me things.
All right. Well, you're cut off. Okay. So.
All right. Okay, here's this good one. My dad taught me this, and I do this. If you borrow someone's car, fill up the tank before you return it.
Yeah, no, I've heard that for sure. And yeah, I think I do that. I don't commonly borrow people's cars, but I certainly would bring it back with more gas than was in it. I do recall years ago, maybe it was one of my sister's. Like, I borrowed a truck to move. It was her boyfriend's. Like, he gave it to me with, like, you know, vapor. Like, it was already on E. So I'm like, so I'm going to fill this thing up for you?
Like, right.
I had to fill it up to use it, and then I had to fill it up to give it back. It's one thing if they give you a full tank, you use it, and then you put it back. That's only one tank of gas you're out. I was out two tanks, and that didn't seem right.
Oh, that's for the – I mean, I think you're paying for the price of the rental. So it is right. I mean, you know, my dad used to let me borrow his car. And I mean, I don't know, maybe it had a half tank of gas in it. But for sure, I would fill it up before I gave it back, you know.
But he gave you enough to use it. If he gave it to you on empty, you got to put the half tank in, use it, and then put another half tank back in. I had to pay twice. That doesn't seem right to me.
Okay. Well, did you bitch about it or did you just do it?
I just did it.
You're still pissed about it, though, 30 years later.
Yes. Although I will tell you, what was it? God, somebody had some car I borrowed that had a high-capacity tank. Maybe it was like a big-ass truck or something. Mm-hmm. Where, yeah, I used it for like 30 minutes, and I just like stick it in the gas tank and just, you know, wait to fill it up. And I look over, I'm like, $80? How much gas does this thing take? Like, holy crap.
Yeah, that's like interesting.
Into filling up a huge tank.
It costs about, right now, it costs about $100 to fill my tank up on my truck.
How many gallons? Like 20 something?
Yeah, I think it's 24 gallons.
Damn.
So, yeah, so
12 gallon tank in my car.
Yeah, my mom's always like, you know, it cost me, you know, just over $30 or whatever to fill up. I'm just like, oh, that would be nice. But yeah, you got hosed. Be nice and kind to waiters, cleaners, helpers, drivers, anyone offering a service. Treat them with the same respect you'd give a manager or a CEO. That should be a no-brainer.
Always, always, always. I feel I go too far with it because I believe in that so much. Like, yes. If you go to dinner with my kids and I, holy crap, the word thank you and please is used 7,000 times, often within the same exchange. Could I please have another glass of water, please? Thank you so much for the glass of water. Thank you. Like, I mean, it's overt.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty much the same way. Just because, well, we've worked in all those roles. And, yeah, we know. It's funny, dude, because you will you'll hear, like, sometimes, like, you know, you should be kind. Well, this is a bullshit reason, but you should be kind to the janitor, you know, because you never know. He may be your boss or she may be your boss someday. Like, you never know how it's going to roll back around, which is true. But, I mean, you should just be kind to the janitor because they have a shitty job and they're cleaning up after you. And it's a job of service and it's a job that we require to live well, you know. So.
Yeah, I don't like the implication there. You should only be nice to them because maybe someday they'll outrank you.
Just right.
Be nice to them. Nice to them.
Yeah, right.
It's like the whole Bible thing. Like, be a good person or you're going to go to hell. How about you just be a good person with no threat or reward in it?
Right. Yeah, that's not the way it works, dude. You got to threaten people with stuff.
Yeah.
These are social unwritten rules that everyone should know and follow. Don't interrupt the person speaking. Wait until they've finished.
I'm sorry. I want to get in on that.
Then say what you want. And that is, I will leave that one open to interpretation. I think this is situational. Okay. Like, my level of respect for you will be whether or not I let you finish speaking or not. If I don't have much respect for you and I think what you're saying is completely toxic and dangerous, I will cut you off without regret.
Yeah, listen, there are some good back and forths where that's part of it. You're jumping in and, no, no, hold on. You're like, you know, there's sometimes that it is good. I have had many fights with significant others where I am accused of not letting them finish their sentence or their thought. And sometimes I will fully admit I interrupt because you're going off on some baloney tangent that I never said that, never did that. I'm not going to just sit here for 2 minutes while you're just – and then we're three topics later and I can't even – I know you lied at the beginning. Like, so there are times like that where I will. Like, hold on. No. But the other times I have found certain women – once they're like, let me finish my thought. I'm like, okay, go ahead. They will intentionally talk for 10 minutes straight just to, you know, to filibuster.
You think it's intentional?
Oh, yeah. And I'm not, I have a mental list of, like, I got to go back to that one thing they said. Oh, another right? thing. Like, yeah. They just go topic to topic to topic. They intentionally convolute the whole argument, so you have no way of replying.
Yeah. No, I've been a part of that. And there's definitely an art to conversation, to productive quality conversation. I've been accused of doing the same thing. Rachel's like, you cut me off. She'll tell me that. You're cutting me off. Like, let me finish. And here's my biggest problem, all right? Like, sometimes, and especially when Rachel's had a few glasses of wine, minute details that are unnecessary in a story become highly prevalent. We were on 33rd Street. It was 6 o'clock. You know, like, come on. Like, let's go, dude. I'm about to fall asleep. You know, come on.
I have done that before. I do this little, like, yeah, fast forward. Come on. Yes. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, and she nailed me dead to rights. Like, I got into a habit of doing that because, like, we've been married for so long. I know where you're going with this. You know, unless you're adding something new to it, I already know the ending. So, I mean, if we're having a disagreement where, like, you're talking about your feelings, I will surely do my best not to do that. You know, like, I want to let you finish, but if you're telling a story I've heard 80 times, like, let's go. Come on.
What about if you're in a social setting, your significant other is being too long-winded or whatever, you're simply trying to help them tell a better story, and you give them, like, okay, like, move on. Like, yeah. I'm trying to help you. It's never been received that way, though.
No, it's like telling your partner that, you know, you're being crazy right now or you're being irrational. You know, it doesn't ever work well. But, you know, I've told you before on this show, especially, that Rachel stunts me with, like, if I'm telling stories, you know that 98% of it's true. But, you know, I'm going to give you a little grandiose. Right. She'll say, like, no. That was on a Friday. Like, she'll stop me and interrupt me to say something like that. And I have told her, I was like, you are a story ruiner. You are a buzzkill. Don't do that to me, please.
Yeah. Listen, if you're making up that you met Emilio Estevez or whatever, then maybe, you know, right. chime in.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah not yeah. the whole, we were at Applebee's. No, we were at Chili's. Like, okay,
yes.
And let me keep going.
Completely. You totally ruined my vibe, you know, my pattern. Right. Okay. So how about this one? These are unwritten rules everyone should follow. When someone is speaking directly to you, give them your full undivided attention. Well, obvious. I mean, most of the time. Come on.
I mean, I don't know. I was going to say, if it's a judge or a cop, maybe not, but you should probably pay attention then, too. So,
yeah.
No, or at least feign it. There are times I'm staring at someone and I've got mental things going on up here.
Sure.
Like I'm paying attention, but I'm not.
How are you? How are you with this new? I want to put this right. You know, there is a lot of talk about, we're hearing socially right now, that there's a lot more autism diagnosed in our communities. Okay. When somebody doesn't look at me when I'm talking to them, my first inclination is, what the frick, dude? Like, I don't like talking to the side of your face. I will understand if you have autism or something like that. I would obviously respect that. But there are some people that are just, you know, on their phones, looking up, looking down. I'm listening. Like, I hate that, dude. I don't want to have a conversation with you.
Yeah, no, it definitely drives me nuts. I mean, I struggle with sometimes dual eye contact. Sometimes if you're having a conversation, you're both just staring at each other. Like, sometimes it's okay to kind of look around and make your point. Like,
of
locking
course.
Eye contact the whole time seems somewhat weird occasionally. But yeah, the people that really can't stare at you for any period of time, if they're autistic, obviously I'm going to cut you some slack. I do remember my first date with Kennedy. She did not make a lot of eye contact with me as we're telling stories. She was looking around the restaurant a lot. And
nerves?
I remember, well, that's what I later figured out. Because
okay.
at the time, I was just thinking, like, yeah, like, what's up with this person? Why are they not making more eye contact with me? But yeah, later I figured out that, yeah, she was just nervous. So, you know, I get that. She has no issue with it after the first date. But yeah, I was left to wonder.
You thought you were on Love on the Spectrum, dude. you thought you might have been dating a newly autistic person.
Here's a fun thing I did in high school. Somewhere in my family archive on Betamax, I have a tape of this. But I used to do these broadcasting competitions where it was in high school. It was a division of speech class. And the thing was, I would have to prepare a newscast, and I would sit in front of a judge, and I would have to read the news. And a big part of the scoring was eye contact. Because right. you had to learn how to read off a script and then read ahead a little so you could look at them and then glance down. And this one judge was just staring at his notepad the entire time, just staring down at the table. So I'm up here doing my eye contact, and he's not looking at me. So midway through this thing, I just put my middle finger up. And just not for, like, extended, but I'm just doing my news story, and I put my finger up real quick. He didn't see it. He wasn't looking at me. And I just wanted to show everyone in the room, like, okay, you know, today in Michigan, the Tigers went. I'm just, nope.
Either, we got to get that video, dude. That's great. You've always been a little rebel rouser.
Right.
That's funny shit, man. Okay, these are unspoken rules everyone should know. Unwritten, unspoken. Two things you shouldn't offer unless you're asked: an opinion
and
advice. No, I think it's okay to ask that if you haven't been asked. I think it's okay to comment on those two things. But what do you think about opinion and advice? People would hate me, dude. People, if that's the rule, like, I always offer my opinion or advice, and you would hate me if you follow that.
Well, as we learned from my Gen X meme I found, Gen Xers smoke pot, wear flannels, listen to Pearl Jam, and have opinions on everything. So maybe it's just generational for us. And I don't know what we're having a conversation about if you don't want my input or opinion or whatever. I mean, unless it's some boss role and you're just telling me what to do. But yeah, if we're having a conversation, I don't know what the conversation's about if I'm not offering my two cents.
Otherwise, you're just here to listen to me, which there are times that's appropriate and that I might want that. But if we're having a conversation, yeah, I'll tell you what, dude, I don't believe this. I mean, I offer people advice when I talk to them. I don't feel there's much need for conversation otherwise. And I also love it when people give me their advice. It doesn't mean I'm necessarily going to take it, but it definitely enters into the equation of analyzing what I'm doing and where I'm going and if it's working or not. You know, yeah. I think that's bullshit.
And again, that's in a conversation. The thing, unsolicited advice, drives me most crazy on the golf course. I will not golf with somebody who feels the need. Hey, let me just tell you how to do your swing better. You're dipping your head. Like, I'm out here to have fun. I don't need you as my coach. Didn't ask you. Don't want to hear it.
That's interesting. Yeah. What if I were to say, hey, you mind if I give you a little tip? Would that bother you?
It would be significantly better. And if you did it, probably, I would take it. But half the time, if somebody was like, hey, can I offer you some advice, to be polite because you asked, I'd say yes.
Right.
But I don't know that I am going to pay attention to it. It's going in one ear and out the other.
I always tell my brother's a king of advice on the golf course, dude. Yeah. And I always tell him, there's nothing that you are going to show me that I will master today. We're playing a game of golf. I'm drinking. I'm having fun. Like, there's nothing you're going to show me that's going to change my life today. Please don't.
My shrink recently gave me a good line that I've been trying to, like, drill in my brain. And her specific example, I think you could do it for, like, golf or something, too. But she basically said, I like to tell people that your opinion of me is none of my business. It's a nice way to say, like, I don't give a crap what you think of me. Mm. You know, I don't need to hear it or know it. So I could see saying, like, you know, your opinion of a good backswing is none of my business. You know?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, that's funny, dude. I'll have to try that. I don't know. Some people may be offended by that. What do you mean it's none of your business? You know,
that's the point. I don't need to hear whatever the hell you just said. She made it on the personal thing. Like, if somebody's criticizing your clothing, like, yeah, okay, your opinion of how I dress is none of my business. Like, that's a nicer way to say, I don't want to hear this from you.
Yeah, that's interesting. These are all unwritten rules that everyone should supposedly follow. Let's see. Oh, this is a good one. Yeah, if you don't do these, you'll probably end up in jail. Respect others' personal space and privacy. Uh-huh. Of course. My brother is a great example for a lot of things in my life. My brother has no idea what personal space is. Talking to you, like maybe, you know, 5 inches from your ear, leaning in, really, you know, really getting into it. And he knows that about himself. But yeah, I think personal space, like sometimes, I mean, even with my wife or my best friend, like back, give me a little space here, dude. You're really crowding in.
Yeah. Is he responsive? Because he knows it's an issue. If you like give him a little nod, like just back, you know, does he be like, oh crap, sorry?
No. He is self-aware. No, he doesn't. He's self-aware, but he's unapologetically that. Okay.
Interesting. I will say one of the few things my ex-wife and I had worked out well, we had discussed the fact that we both have loud voices. We both can get loud. They're naturally loud, but sometimes in conversation we start to get loud. So we had agreed with each other, like if you ever see one of us just do this little downward motion, it just means you're talking too loud. And for years and years, when I would do it to her, she would never get pissed and vice versa. Like, I appreciate it because I know you have my back and I know you know it's an issue. I get loud. So I would appreciate that.
But yeah,
I don't know that I could take that from everyone. So,
yeah, no, that's funny. I will say things to my brother, like, but it's usually after the fact. Like, you know, I'll tell him, like, were you trying to sniff that person? Like, why were you talking so close? And he'll say, because I'm a close talker, man. I'm a close talker. So I guess that's just how he labels himself. But yeah, it can be very uncomfortable.
Yeah, sounds like.
Okay.
By the way.
Yeah, you, nor am I.
Space.
Yeah, I don't want that. These are unwritten rules everyone should know. If someone shows you a photo on their phone, don't swipe left or right. If they want to show you what's next, they'll do it.
I'm not a person with, like, dick pic, naked pics, anything on my camera roll, because I know there are scenarios where I might be showing my kids pictures. We also all share an Apple account, and I'm just paranoid something might get uploaded to the cloud and all that stuff. But even with those parameters, I was just doing it the other day with Kennedy. I was showing her, oh, those AI pictures you sent of us that aren't us, the worst AI images of us ever.
Right?
So I was flipping through on the phone, like left, right. And I just had this paranoid of like, I don't know what's next on my camera roll. Like, I know there's nothing terrible, but I was paranoid about it.
Right.
So I've heard comedians say there's nothing more vulnerable than handing someone your phone to show them a picture because you don't know what's left or right.
Have you ever seen the videos where, you know, a couple will be walking in a shopping mall and somebody will come up to them and he'll say, you know, like, let's do a loyalty check. You guys good with that? And it's, you know, trade phones, you know. Look, I would love to think, and I'm 99% positive that there's nothing on my phone with my wife anyway, that she would look at and be like, what's that? But you got to think about other things. Like, what if you're taking a picture of, you know, you feel a pimple or something weird on your ass and you can't see it. You're trying to take it. Like, there's could still be weird pictures in there, you know? So
I'm more embarrassed by the fact that I probably have like a Spider-Man picture in there or something. Like Kennedy the other day, we opened up my Netflix account and she was like, your Netflix account looks like a 13-year-old boy, like, you know, compared to what my Netflix looks like.
Yeah.
I'm slightly embarrassed by that, but not overtly, but I don't know.
It's not going to change your behavior.
No, I'm not going to. Of course not. I did. There was a car manager that I was working with. He was a client of the radio station, and he was a good dude, and he went on a fishing trip. So he took his phone out. He was, like, flipping through, like, look at this fish, look at this, and he went one too far. It was him wearing nothing but a towel, standing in front of a mirror, taking a picture of himself. And he got bright red. It was like, never mind. Don't want to show you that. I'm just like, oh, dude. So, yeah, it can happen for sure.
That's some funny shit. Yeah. No, there are definitely – I've been in situations, and I can't remember off the top of my head what they were, but I've seen things that I wasn't supposed to see, and it was embarrassing, you know. Somebody gave me their phone. So, yeah, that's probably – I would ask – you want me to swipe through these to look at them, or am I just looking at this one? You know, yeah, I'd respect that. I was, yeah, I'll tell you this, I guess. Maybe my cousin would think it was funny. I was at my cousin's house, and I don't know, it was, this is great, dude. All right. She said, here's your spare bedroom, you know, and, you know, turn the computer on if you want to, you know, get on the computer. Everything's good, you know, like use the computer. Well, I was working, doing some stuff, and I saved a couple of things. I saved a couple of pictures off the net. And then they saved into her pictures folder, okay? So when I went to find them, I saw pictures that I wished that I wouldn't have seen.
Right.
And I never told. I was just like, I will never mention this. I will never say anything about it. But
personal pictures or professional people or?
Personal.
Yeah. And I'm sure you did not want to see that, right?
No, dude, no. And, you know, I told my brother, I saw these pictures. I can't stop thinking about it. I feel so bad and everything else. And he was like, let me see. I was like, what do you mean let you see? He was like, you didn't snap a picture of it. I was like, no, dude, of course I didn't.
That's funny. It's already seared in your brain.
I can see it right now. So, these are all unwritten rules everyone should follow. When you wrong someone, say sorry and don't ruin your apology with unnecessary excuses to justify what you've done. That's stupid. Of course.
Yeah. I mean, apologies are appropriate and I freaking hate it. And this is another relationship thing. Like, the old, like, well, I'm sorry you took it that way, or I'm sorry I did that. But what about the 10 things you like? Just say you're sorry and stop. Don't put caveats on it. Don't tack on some other thing to make you feel better. Don't try to deflect the blame to someone else. Just say you're sorry and shut your effing pie hole.
Well, are you good at it?
I think I, early in my career of dating and whatnot, I was probably not good about it. I often would say, like, well, I'm sorry you took it that way. Because in my mind, that sounded correct.
right.
It's a backhanded apology.
Yeah, I think that comes with therapy and understanding. For years, I really struggled, even in my marriage, when I would apologize to Rachel, I would oftentimes say, that wasn't my intent. I'm sorry. And she was like, you're
the correct way to do it.
But she would even hate that. Like, don't tell me about your intent. Don't tell me how you thought it was going to go. Like, just tell me you're sorry. And that's there is something to be said for that, you know, but it almost killed me. You know, like if you're OCD and you have to count to six or you can't stop thinking about it, it almost killed me. Like, I felt like I was going to explode to not say, like, it wasn't my intent. You know, like, I just got to say that, but I've gotten better about it because it's important to her. Would you take it that way, though? I mean, if I said, I'm really sorry, dude, I did not intend to, that was not my intent. Would you take it like I was making an excuse for myself?
No, because I have testicles. I think must be the distinction going on here.
Maybe.
Because, no, if I say, I'm sorry you took it that way, that I'm putting it on you. But if I say, I didn't mean it that way, man, I'm sorry, then no, I'm saying the same thing, but I'm not putting it on you. I'm still putting it on me. And I will tell you, Kennedy recently said something about that, where I said something about intent. And she said, well, you know, what the road to hell is paved with, right? Good intentions. And we kind of debated that. And I ended up asking my therapist, like, what do you think about this concept? Like, do intentions matter? And my therapist was like, of course intentions freaking matter. They matter in relationships, but look at the law. You know, your wife's a lawyer, so it's a little ironic if she doesn't think intent matters.
I don't know, and I don't know to be exact if she thinks intentions matter, but she just wants a blank slate. If I'm going to apologize, she just wants an I'm sorry. And I think it means more to her if I use you language, you know, not me, not make it anything about me and how I feel or what I meant, like just focus on her.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, apologies are important, but they do have to be done correctly or they will backfire epically is what I have learned the hard way in life. So you don't want to just say sorry because that's not enough, but you know, the less you can say is probably better.
I mean, if you're really sorry, you can say it. I suppose I shouldn't be worried about intentions because if I'm apologizing to someone, hopefully they know me well enough that they know I would never have bad intentions. So maybe that's why she doesn't feel like she needs to hear it. Of course, you didn't have bad intentions, but what you did was bad. So just say you're sorry.
Maybe it's just sometimes I do have bad intentions. Maybe that's why I've been called out.
Yeah.
Or debating you into a corner.
And everyone likes a different apology, you know, and you're right. You know, like if you say sorry to me, things are diffused immediately for me, like, right. Because I know you wouldn't say it unless you meant it, you know, so I'm done. I'm good. So, okay. These are unwritten rules. Don't break your promise or don't make one if you're not sure you can keep it. I've had a problem with that before.
Don't make a promise if you don't think you can keep it. Yeah, I mean, that seems somewhat clear. What I more hate, and I've had to tell my kids before, is don't make a promise or an offer to help somebody if you're expecting something in return. And certainly don't tell them that. Like, yeah, I'll help you move on Saturday, but only if you do this. Like, it's not a negotiation. If you're being helpful, be helpful.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. My main problem with this is that, you know, I don't know, I'm in therapy for this. So, as we've talked about before, like, I have a hero complex. Like, I want to be able to help people. I want to be able to help anyone at any time. And I've overcommitted myself at times, you know, where
that's fair. Yeah.
You know, so you got to be careful of that. Like, I've been working on positive ways to let people know that I would love to help with that. I just simply can't do it right now, you know, and that's difficult for me. So
did you overcommit, though, and then not follow through, or you follow through just like, why did I do this? You know?
Yes. Follow through and then bitch about it, you know, and that's another thing. If you tell someone like, yeah, I'll help you with that, you shouldn't bitch about it, you know.
Yes. So that's the other part of that I've told my kids before, because like, yeah, I've seen them do it to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And that it just got me in trouble because, oh, I'll be there for my mom. I'll go do this for my sister. And then when it's time to pay the piper, I'm just like, I don't want to do this at all right now. Yeah. So, yeah. These are unwritten rules that everyone should know and follow. When someone tells you a secret, take it with you to the grave, even if you wake up as enemies the next morning. Listen, this is an interesting topic because secrets are not made to be told to a room of people. Okay. Like, I need to know the difference. If you're telling me a secret, I know that if you really don't want me to talk about it to anyone in my life, aka my wife or my best friend or someone who doesn't even know your crowd, that you need to tell me, like, please don't ever say this to anyone. This is just between you and me, you know. Yeah. Otherwise, like, hey, can I tell you a secret? You know, yeah, I'll tell a couple of people. You know,
it depends what the circle is. Now, first of all, I would never, ever, ever, even as close as you and I are, I would never tell you, don't tell Rachel this, because I think that's completely inappropriate to put you in that situation where you're now concealing something from your better half, even if it's none of her business or whatever. Like, that's inappropriate of me. Whenever I tell you something, I just assume I'm telling both of you, because I assume at some point it's shared, and that's fine because you know, I trust the both of you. So, yeah, I would never put that on someone like that. And then also, like, if a coworker tells me some crazy story and I tell you, like, those worlds are never going to cross paths. Like, I'll come on this show and be like, you know, yeah, this person told me a story about getting molested as a kid. Like, I just told the world, but I didn't point out who it was. And
Right.
There's gray area there.
It's interesting that you say that, dude, because, I mean, even like with you and Kennedy, like, I haven't spent years with Kennedy like you have with Rachel. But even when I tell you stuff, I assume that, yeah, you have the go ahead to tell your significant other, because I can't just leave you with that. Like, you have to be able to process it and talk it through somehow as well, you know?
Right. Yeah. Indeed. I've done that with therapy stuff, too. Like, you know, this is a secret, but you're my therapist, so I can tell you. You can't repeat it. Like, telling your lawyer a secret. Like, you ethically cannot take this any further, so I'm going to tell you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, there's a time and a place for secrets.
Right. All right, give me one more. Let me wrap this up.
All right. Let me just see real quick. I'm going to make it a real good one, okay? Unwritten rules everyone should follow. Don't whisper something to someone when it is only one person sitting with, when there is someone else sitting with you too. Don't whisper. That's freaking rude, dude. I hate that shit. If anyone ever whispers in front of me, I'm like, you know, A, are you talking about me? B, why are we hanging out if you can't tell me what you're talking about? You know,
what if your significant other has something on their face? Booger hanging down. Usually you're like, hey, baby, you know, booger.
If you do, you should do this, you know, because in all likeliness, I've already seen it, you know. I hate people whispering in front of me. I mean, I suppose with, you know, significant others, there's a time and a place where, you know, you may kind of quietly say something. But if you're full on going in the ear, like, I don't want to be around you.
Yeah, no, because obviously the implication is it's either about you or I don't want you to know this, and yeah, that's rude, so sure.
Yeah. Well, I think we've done it again, dude, and just making the world generally better people by just explaining these unwritten rules for those who don't latch on so easily.
I think so. We have done good work, so.
All right.
Well, anyways, for people listening to this in the recorded version, we have a website. It's thevocalminority.net, and we have social media accounts. Find them yourself.
Go check them out. We're not even going to tell you what they are. Right. Call the comment line, 844-48-VOCAL, thevocalminority.net. This is where you get the podcast. And, see our content on Really American Media's platform on YouTube. So we're there as well.
Hello, my mini champions. It's your favorite old bag, Betty White. This has been a production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. New podcasts are released twice a week. Don't forget to watch The Golden Girls wherever great TV is watched.